Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
So because it's summer and we have This Is My Story and it's a long weekend, I am going to strive to speak for less than an hour today. I want to start by showing you a few things that I found online. You ever come across a life hack? Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Other people go, yeah, okay. So I got a few that I found online that I thought were pretty good. And I don't remember what they were, so let's put them up. For people who use their phone and watch things often, tired of leaning it onto something where it fall down after a while, use your sunglasses as a phone holder. That's pretty good. Okay. Not that exciting. Use a clean dustpan to fill a container that doesn't fit in the sink. All right. This is great. Put pancake mix in a ketchup bottle for a no-mess experience. Okay, if you think that's good, check out this next one. Almost finish your jar of Nutella, end it with ice cream. So we're doing our summer series, and the series is called Living Skillfully, where we're looking at Proverbs. Okay, the book of Proverbs is filled with, it's like a life hack, but it's not. Okay, let's be honest, life is difficult, and no matter how old you are, if you're starting to hit those adult years, I've heard this often, adulting is difficult. Like, how do we do this? And it's not just about, you know, budget and grocery shopping, but actually the real wisdom needed to live life skillfully. And so that's what the series is about. We do have message notes on crosslands.live. If you go to crosslands.live in your smart device and click the box that says Sunday message, there are application questions there. It's a resource we provide to you to try to live this out and apply it during the week. And because it's, you know what, I doubt we'll have time for text messages, but my number's at the top of the screen. If you want to text me, you're welcome to. I want to start from the beginning of the book of Proverbs, and this is where our Proverbs comes from. This is why the book is called Proverbs, because it's a whole bunch of Proverbs, and speaking about Proverbs. And I just want to read together, not out loud, but I'll have it up on the screen. Proverbs 1, verses 1 to 6, and it says this. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. So this is the intro to the whole book. God wants you to be successful. And the proverbs are here in the text, in the Bible text, as a resource for successful living. The word wisdom, the original root in the original language, comes from something that means something like skill. Like craftsmanship, or in any capacity, administration, leadership, it's used in all those capacities. And this is skill as applied to living. We place a high value on knowledge in our culture. In fact, knowledge is the new resource, where entire industries are being built on soft resources. We're not talking about like minerals and wood, but on actual knowledge itself. And people can become successful through access to knowledge, the right kind of knowledge. If you have the right kind of knowledge, you can get somewhere. That's not what this is talking about. Because you can have knowledge and not know how to use it. Wisdom is knowing how to use knowledge, which is why it says these proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. These are tools that we can use to live skillfully. So, what are the Proverbs? It's collected sayings, and we have to be careful because sometimes you can look up a proverb and go, okay, well, here's a rule that God has established, and they're not rules. They're not necessarily a promise or a guarantee, but they're insights given an ideal situation. So if things are the way they should be, this is going to hold true, and the reality is we live in a world where things are not always the way they should be. So we know that life is hard in many ways, whether it comes to relationship or finances or whatever. The Proverbs are God's resources to us that have been developed and collected in a cultural context. right? Sometimes we get the idea that the Bible is written down, that God either took control of somebody's hand or whispered the words in their ear, and that's not the way it works. God has worked with people. Everything God does, he does with people. And so in cultural context, God has guided the collection of these and for the benefit of us and everybody that came before us and everybody that's coming forward. A few years ago, I think maybe it was last year, I had an issue at home in our backyard. We had some metal decking, and I needed to get under it. And I wasn't sure how it was fastened. And I had to crawl under and get all dirty. And I realized that the decking was held on by these bolts. And it was just a matter of undoing the bolts and lifting the decking. But as I got my socket set and I started turning the bolts, and they were turning but not loosening. So they were attached to a nut that I couldn't reach, and the whole thing was just turning. And I got 4 of them out, and there were 16. I thought, I'm going to have to cut this thing out. I'm going to have to cut the bolt. So I talked to a friend. He said, I got this little Dremel tool with a metal cutter, and I got under there, and I started grinding away. I couldn't even see it. I kind of had to feel it and get the cutter in there. And I finally got the first bolt out, and it took me 3 hours. And I thought, okay, it's just going to take a really long time, and I'm just going to have to just kind of go at it. And so I started on the second bolt, and I was maybe like a third of the way through the bolt, and the cutter broke. So I was very frustrated. I was not having a good time. It was hot. I was sweaty and dirty. And so Michelle took the broken disc and went to Home Depot, and she came home with something completely different. She said, the guy said you should try this one. And she bought 5 of them. And so I took the second disc and put it on the cutter, and I think I got through the second half of that bolt in about 15 minutes. I was using the wrong tool. And so what happens in life is we're trying to be successful. Sometimes we use the wrong tool for the job. And it's difficult. And so that's the purpose of God giving us these proverbs to be the right tool for the job. And so what do we do with them? The reality is that we're complicated, life is complicated, and the Proverbs are not life hacks. The Proverbs are more general, and they're meant to be chewed on and mulled over and internalized in a way that isn't simple, but it builds that insight into your life. And so given that this is an introductory message, we're not dealing with a specific proverb today, but we will be dealing with a specific proverb every week for the next few weeks until we hit Labor Day. And the challenge for you is to mull over this, internalize it. What do I do with the proverbs? And so I do have a challenge for you today. The challenge is to begin to read these proverbs, and really, I'm not asking you to, read the whole Bible. One proverb, one verse. They're like 2 lines, 4 lines, starting in Proverbs chapter 10. Why chapter 10? Because before that, it's talking about wisdom, but they're not actual individual proverbs. The individual proverbs start at chapter 10. So chapter 10, verse 1 says, a wise child brings joy to a father, a foolish child brings grief to a mother. And you go, well, that seems kind of simple. When you mull it over and you think about it from 20 different perspectives, there's a lot of wisdom in that. And if there wasn't, it wouldn't be written here. So my challenge to you is to read one a day and mull it over throughout the day. Ask God to show you insight and how it applies to your life. And that can change everything. The reality is that God wants you to succeed, and here's one of the tools he has given us to succeed. He's given us these proverbs because it isn't just words on a page. God speaks to us through Scripture. This is something I think that in our sort of materialistic, practical, pragmatic culture, we look at this as an instruction book, and it's really not. It's a relationship book. God wants to relate with us, and he can do that through the text if we're willing to open ourselves up to it. So let God inform you. Now, I'm not going to talk for an hour today. It's actually a very, very short message because it's summer. So We're coming to a close very, very quickly, and so I have... Okay. I'm getting technical text messages. It was the wrong number up on the screen. I had Wade's number up, and now it's not. Now it's mine. So, Wade, did anybody text you? Good. All right. All right. So here is a text message. How can someone enter into a mentor-mentee relationship when it feels as if their understanding of faith is constantly changing and they don't have a decent starting off point to build from? That's a really, really good question. And I want to thank you for giving you that question. Because there is a... This is a huge tangent here, but I appreciate the tangent because I think there's something for us in that. In mentoring somebody else, sometimes we feel like we have to have it all together. Sometimes it feels like we have to be a master and somebody else is an apprentice. That's not the case at all. So we've talked about this in the office level for quite a few years now. The purpose of mentoring is to bring somebody to where you are. And here's how that works. When you mentor somebody else and you bring them to where you are in your journey, you move ahead. You automatically move ahead. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to have all the answers because that's not what it's about. It's not about a set of instructions by which we live life. It's about following Jesus. And as he moves, we move and we bring somebody else with us. It's really that simple. I was reading a book that Wade made me read. And it was about this guy that accidentally started a church in the Philippines. So he was doing a one-month mission trip. And he ended up staying for 2 months instead of moving to the second leg. He came back to the States and said, we got to go back full time. And they were leading people into relationship with Jesus and starting from scratch, leading people into relationship with Jesus. He knew he was leaving. So he said, we have to create a system of sustainability. And so he had these fairly new Christians. And he said, it's your job to go make somebody else a Christian and lead them forward. They said, yeah, but we're brand new. How do we know how to do that? And he said, it's basically, he didn't use our words, lead them to where you are. He says, as you're reading through the Bible, and they were brand new, they're reading through the Bible for the first time. He says, make sure you're one chapter ahead of the person you're leading. Make sure you're one chapter ahead. Do you know what I find? And it's something that I get frustrated with myself, and it's something I get frustrated with our North American Christianity, is we're very passive. We're very static, and we're not leading people forward. And because we're not leading people forward, we're not moving forward. We're just kind of in the same spot. And we're afraid to mentor somebody else. We're afraid to lead somebody to Jesus. We're afraid to lead somebody forward in our relationship with Jesus because we think that we're not good enough. And that's a lie from the enemy that keeps us stagnant and static. That's a lie from the enemy that keeps you stagnant and static because you don't have to be good enough. You just have to be pointed to Jesus and moving forward. And you bring somebody along with you. That's what discipleship is all about. Oh, there's all kinds of nuance to that, but it isn't about having all of the knowledge and having your life perfect because you're never going to be there. If that was the case, if that was required, I could not do this job because I don't have that all together. Moving forward and bringing somebody with you. Stay one chapter ahead. Okay, now this is turning into a conversation. Okay. So if I heard this right, it's your fault Jordan's been in school this long. Sure, I'll take that. I mentioned this something like this, and I didn't want to put Jordan on the spot in the interview, but about 3 years ago, I had Jordan in my office, and Jordan was mentioning, I've mentioned this some time ago, I said to Jordan, Jordan was saying to me, you know, I started coming to Crossings when I was in youth. Like, we've known each other for a long time, and he was, I guess, expressing some kind of gratitude for the influence of myself and the church in his life, the youth group and the whole bit. And you know what? When you have that input in your life, the natural response is gratitude. Should be. No, it shouldn't. No, that's not the right response. It's a natural response. It's not the right response. The right response is you go do it somebody else. And so I had Jordan in my office, and he was expressing this gratitude, and I said, yes, but when are you going to start doing it to somebody else? And you know what he did? He started a small group. And you know who goes to the small group? My son. comes around. The church is always one generation away from extinction. And if we are not moving forward and bringing somebody else with us, then we are part of the church leading toward extinction. You don't have to be good enough. You have to be moving forward, pointed to Jesus. How many weeks is this Proverbs challenge? Thanks. You know, I'd like to say 1 week, but you know, I'm going to tell you all summer. It's one verse. A verse a day. You're not going to run out because there's more. A verse a day till the end of the summer and see what happens. And then another text from the same person. Thank you. The purpose of mentoring is to bring them to where we are. Shouldn't it be to lead them closer to Christ? Yes. It is. If you bring them to where you are and you're still moving forward, you'll automatically move forward because in the doing, you grow. In the doing, you move closer to Jesus. That's how it works. You bring them to where you are, but by the time they get there, you're forward. And you keep moving forward. And then they bring somebody else behind them because that's what you've taught them to do, because that's what you do. So, yes, bring them to where you are and keep moving forward. The issue is you're not bringing them to where you are being stagnant. You're bringing them to where you are and still moving forward. Stay a chapter ahead. That's how discipleship works. I had another thought, and it just leaked out. It's gone. Okay. It's gone. You know what? It's almost 11, so I'm going to ask that you would stand. You know, we're all in a spiritual journey, and maybe you're not even following Jesus. If you're not following Jesus, I want to give you the opportunity today to take that step in following Jesus. And it's really simple. The life of following Jesus is difficult and meaningful and challenging, and it's sometimes the hardest thing you'll ever do, and it's also the best thing you'll ever do. But how do you even start? It's as simple as ABC. A, admit your need for him. B, believe that Jesus has made possible the life for which you were created. And he's done that through his death and resurrection, which is a very, very complicated layered idea. And if you want to look into that more, we just finished a very long series on the cross. It's available on our website. It's available on podcast if you look up Crossens Church. Believe that that's available. And believe is not just to hold an opinion. It's trust. It's having the courage to act on it. It's demonstrating allegiance to the Jesus that we follow. And then finally, commit your life to him. Start walking in his footsteps, which means you can't walk in your own way. Commit to Jesus, commit to his community. There are all kinds of different expressions of that. We are one. This is my favorite expression of the communities of followers of Jesus, but there's all different kinds in Newmarket and the surrounding areas. A lot of churches that are striving to follow Jesus. Commit to the community of Jesus. Start reading a Bible. And we have you do need to tell somebody, because it's in that act that you get moving. So you can tell me, you can tell somebody at the information desk. You can also do it online on our Crossens.live app. There's a Follow Jesus box there. Give us your contact info and we'll help you on this brand new journey. I also want to, we have five next steps on the screen. And I want to highlight growing in giving. To follow Jesus means to live generously. And at Crossens Church, we have seen it demonstrated many times over and over and over. When people trust God with their finances, God turns it around and blesses them. Because it's a cycle that moves forward. God always challenges our allegiance to money, which is built into our culture. It says, give it to me instead, and I will take care of you. So we have all kinds of giving means available here, you know, online. We have giving boxes in the lobby for cash and checks, if people still use those things. And if you have any questions about that, you can ask at the information desk. It is quite central to what it means to follow Jesus, to live generously. So as a final thought today, I want to reiterate that challenge. Starting at Proverbs 10, and you don't have to start there. There's a whole bunch of chapters available that are full of Proverbs. Start somewhere and read a proverb a day and mull it over prayerfully throughout the day. God, what can I learn from this? How do I apply this? How do I see this around me? How do I see it being true? How do I see when it's not true? What are contradictions to that? And what are the reasons for that? mull it over, let God's wisdom take birth in your life so that we can live skillfully as followers of Jesus. Now let me pray for you. It is summer, and in summer we're not going to be doing prayer after the service. You're welcome to. But I do want to challenge everyone here, and we do this all the time, to find somebody you've never met before and have a meaningful conversation with them. We have new people coming all the time, visitors coming all the time, especially towards the end of the summer, as people, that's when transition happens. So keep an eye out. Okay, this is not the responsibility of just a few people in the church. This is a responsibility for all of us to be a welcoming community, to engage with people, because every person matters in the sight of God. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you that you want us to succeed. Thank you that Jesus died for us when we had turned our backs on you, when we weren't even interested, we were apathetic, we were antagonistic towards you. You loved us enough to come and get us. And Father, you don't leave us where we are. As much as you love us unconditionally, you always call us to strive for the best life according to your values, not the values of the world. And so, Father, I pray that each one of us this week would increasingly internalize your wisdom, not the wisdom of the world, as we allow your message to us, your words to us, be planted in our hearts to germinate, to take root. I ask, Lord, that that wisdom would produce fruit. It would produce life. It would produce abundance. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you for coming today. We look forward to seeing you next week.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.